grab the keys to a new Toyota.
Let's go!
And go apple picking. Go to a football game. Go ghost hunting. Or not. This fall, get a low lease on the sporty 2024 Corolla. Adventure-ready RAV4 Hybrid, rugged Tacoma, and even the new all-hybrid 2025 Camry.
Grab the keys, come on, let's go!
Toyota, let's go places. Offer available to TFS buyers with premium rated credit until 11/4/24.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
We're down to 8 seconds left. It's in front. It's poked out of the zone by the Sharks Winberg, and the San Jose Sharks are going to come into New Jersey and get a 1-0 shutout win. And what a moment for Mackenzie Blackwood in his return to New Jersey. Blackwood facing 44 shots, stopping them all and winning by the score of 1-0. The San Jose Sharks for Mackenzie Blackwood getting his 11th career shutout. And I think this might be the sweetest shutout he's ever had.
I mean, obviously you expect a push at the end, which is normal from one of the better teams in the league. They got obviously big expectations this year. They played last night. I thought we took advantage of that in the first two periods especially. It's tough to shut down, you know, that cycle game, that skill game that they have for 60 minutes. It's almost impossible to do. I thought we did a great job for the most part. Stay tight, obviously. Blackie, huge game by him today. And, very effective today, I would say.
All right, good morning, everyone, as we are once again waking up winners with the San Jose Sharks, as since October 28th in Utah, they have been winning far more than they have been losing. And it is a rectification, a correction from a start to the season at 0-7-2 that I don't think any of us saw coming. They deserved more wins along the way, but now the Sharks are racking up the wins. They were opportunistic last night, taking advantage of a New Jersey team that was on the second night of a back-to-back, and the San Jose Sharks just keep winning games. And I think that when you look at the fact that they've won 5 out of their last 7, that they continue to improve, that they are now 29th out of 32 teams in the league as opposed to 31 out of 32. That's improvement overall, or 32 out of 32 when they were at the end of last year. The Sharks are making strides in terms of their game. And I think that one of the things that I note the most is that when we talked about the Sharks a year ago, things would have to be nearly perfect, right? Like, it would have to be an absolutely perfect game for them to walk away with a win. When we looked at what happened in the game last year against Colorado, second game of the season, they had a remarkable performance from Mackenzie Blackwood. He made, I believe, something like 50 saves, maybe it was 51 saves, but the Sharks didn't walk away with the win. In fact, they were defeated by a final of 2-1 in a shootout. They conceded a late goal, and they were not good enough overall in that game. And Colorado is also a very good team. No one's going to deny that, but that was a similar situation in which the Sharks played a great game, but did not find a way to win that game. Then we look over the course of last year overall. There were a number of other games where they didn't have just that little squeeze or push that they needed, like a 3-2 shootout loss against Montreal in late November. Or we look at, you know, any of the other close wins that they were not able to hold on to that turned into losses. And there were a number that happened over the course of the year where you thought, man, the Sharks were close, but they just weren't good enough to walk away with the win. They had a 2-1 shootout loss to Chicago is one that comes to mind. They had a 3-2 overtime loss to Anaheim. They had a 1-0 loss on the road in Winnipeg. A shootout 3-2 loss to Dallas. A 2-1 loss to the Kings. An overtime loss to Calgary. I mean, these games happened time and time again last year where they were good, where they were in the games, but the breaks did not go their way. And it was one of the things that we talked about, is that the breaks did not go their way consistently a year ago. And I think now we're starting to see something to the effect of the breaks just might be going to the Sharks a little bit more than what we had previously seen. And how do you do that in the NHL or in professional sports? You've got to be a little bit better. You've got to be a team that creates your own luck or breaks, or put yourself in a position to walk away with the win. It's like we talk about that goal last night that was technically in off of Timo Meier. Well, Nico Sturm put the puck in a dangerous place. He threw it back in front. Anything can happen at that point. Make the defense answer the question. Make everyone come up with a moment to where they have to have the right response in that place and time. And in doing so, they didn't. It was just a random bad play, but the break went the way of the Sharks. And then Mackenzie Blackwood, even though he has not gotten the offensive support in so many of his starts that he has needed from the San Jose Sharks, he was a brick wall last night. He had a phenomenal performance. He had a shutout win, and the Sharks were good enough to get the win. The Sharks were good enough at the critical moments of the game to hold off what New Jersey was bringing. Now, did it help in several situations that this team was on the second night of a back-to-back and maybe didn't have as much juice to give? Of course. You don't deny that in the slightest, but that's San Jose being opportunistic. And they'll have to deal with that exact narrative tonight when they take on Philadelphia, who is going to be seeing the Sharks on the second night of a back-to-back while they are the more rested team. Now, Philadelphia has not played well at all to start off this season. I think that easily goes without saying, but that is still a team that is in the same vicinity as the Sharks are right now. People thought Philadelphia was going to be better, I believe, but I don't think they thought they were going to be world beaters. But right now, Philadelphia sits at 5-8-2, 12 points on the year. That is the exact same point total on the year that San Jose has at 5-9-2. So, yeah, the Sharks actually, by playing one more game than Philadelphia, have a worse win percentage overall. So it's something to take into consideration, and it's something to look at with San Jose and think to yourself, okay, what are they going to do against this Flyers team? What are they going to do to manage the tired legs early on in the game? What are they going to do to give themselves an opportunity? And what is Philadelphia going to do to be opportunistic? All the same things that are going through Philadelphia's head right now is what was going through the Sharks' head last night. And the Sharks, what they're thinking of today, is what New Jersey was thinking of last night. So the Sharks get to see both ends of the spectrum in two consecutive games. But while I don't want to get ahead of myself in any way, shape, or form about what the Sharks are doing right now, it does feel like we are watching change occur. Now, does that mean that they are going to thrust themselves into the playoff conversation? I do not believe so. But they have Macklin Celebrini back. That's a big help for San Jose. They have more veteran talent than they did a year ago. They have newcomers like Grundstrom, like Dellandrea, like Tyler Toffoli, like Wennberg. You know, we go down the list. Cody Ceci, Jake Walman, Timothy Liljegren so far has looked like a good pickup. We look at the players that are impacting the Sharks night in, night out right now, and it's a better group of players talent-wise overall than what we saw a year ago. But again, you didn't see a stretch last year in which they won 5 out of 7. The best that they had was 4 out of 6. When Logan Couture was back, and they went 4-1-1. Right now, the Sharks are at a better stretch right now, and if you look at their performances, the teams that they have lost to in Vancouver and Minnesota as of late, those are good teams. Vancouver is not off to the hot start that they were a year ago, but I think that we all thought they would be good entering this year, and at 7-3-3 and 7-2-1 in their last 10, that's a dangerous team that they got beat last weekend, or 2 weekends ago if we're now on Monday the 11th, but that's a good team to lose to. And then you look at where Minnesota is right now at 10-2-3. They're also 7-2-1 in their last team. Hey, guess what? That's a good team that you have lost to. Otherwise, you are beating high-quality teams like LA, for instance. That's a big, big win. LA is at the top of the Pacific right now. You should not overlook something like that from San Jose. You beat Chicago, a team that you think you're right there with them. You beat St. Louis, who are 7-8-0 on the season. You beat Utah, who are off to an okay start. And then last night, you beat a team in New Jersey who has an incredible amount of talent. I mean, they are an extremely talented team. They're one of the best teams in the early parts of this season. They may have been on the second night of a back-to-back, and the Sharks were able to manage it. And one of the things that, you know, you heard about Nico Sturm talking about bringing us in was that, you know, there's more skill on that New Jersey side than maybe you're going to be able to out-hustle on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, they are going to be tired. That's for sure. That's undoubted. But you are dealing with the amount of skill that they have over the course of 60 minutes. And eventually that skill is going to break through. And, you know, if you were listening to Dan Rusinowski in the last 15 minutes, he talked about Hughes starting to dangle. And you start hearing those narratives make their way into the broadcast. And you think to yourself, uh-oh, you know, that's the skill coming in. That's the overall ability that can push back against a Sharks team that, while they are trying very hard, has not given themselves more than a one-goal buffer. And against a team like a New Jersey right now, you need more than a one-goal buffer. But the Sharks somehow made it work. And making it work right now is something that they could not do a year ago. Yes, there were some incredible comebacks last week, or last year, I should say. The Islanders was one. We talk about the game versus Detroit. Those were great moments, but they seemed like they were just blips on the radar, whereas right now it seems like there's more of a design going on for San Jose, and they're winning games in different ways. Although they are tight, they are still finding ways to win, and I think that goes a long way in San Jose kind of establishing who they are this year. And I think that San Jose was coming off of two consecutive seasons where the identity was getting beaten up upon and not finding the breaks and the efforts going unrewarded. And that's something I talk about time and time again with San Jose, is that no matter how good you are, no matter what you do, it seems that over and over and over, if you don't get the results that you feel you deserve with your effort, it's going to make it that much harder to push back in those situations. But right now, the Sharks, after that 0-7-2 start, winless in your first nine, suddenly they are 5-2 in their last seven. And that is some good hockey. That's 5-5 overall. And they have picked up their second road win. They are doing just things that they were not capable of doing previously. And you know, this is what you want to see. You want to see San Jose push back, be able to have these big moments, to have these inexplicable wins. Because when you win against the grain, against the narrative, that is something that good teams do consistently. And I remember, you know, the Sharks of past, the sexy Sharks, as Drew Remender likes to call them, where it would be the second night of a back-to-back, where they would fall behind early on the road, and then you would get that talent that would take over. It would be beyond the design. You would get Jumbo and Pavelski and Hurdle and, you know, Boyle and whoever it was as part of that mix, where they would do things that would give San Jose the opportunity to win. And when you do have that opportunity in the face of what should not be the outcome, it just bolsters everything. It gives everyone that much more hope. It gives everyone that much more desire, and then you start pushing from there. And I think that also for us, it's fun to watch the Sharks get rewarded, right? Like, this was not part of the narrative previously. They were not getting these rewards. They were playing good games, but too often coming up with the short end of the stick. And, you know, right now they are giving a good show every time you tune in. And yes, they got beat by Minnesota the other night, but it was pretty obvious to see that this was not a collapse or anything like that. Minnesota was just better. And I think that even if you look back at the Vancouver game, where they probably should have walked away with at least one point, they're learning from those mistakes. And they did so in the very next game, where they played that much tighter. And I think that they didn't have the ability to learn from the mistakes a year ago and 2 years ago, because they were always just at a talent deficit that was so much greater than it was. And yes, I know that you can say, well, Ted, this is 0-7-2 followed by a correction, but they shouldn't have been 0-7-2 in the first part. Like, they should have had two wins throughout that stretch or something to that effect. They should have at least had one. I mean, it was very, very strange to watch a better team not getting the offense, not getting the results that they deserved, coming up with the, you know, the lack of breaks. And now they are getting the breaks, but they're playing better. So I think that you watch them go through that baptism by fire, and now they're making the most of it. And I think that's just the most important thing to see, is the Sharks are giving themselves a chance, game in, game out. They're giving themselves the opportunity to win games. They're giving themselves the opportunity to get points. You know, even that loss, there's only been one loss as of late where they didn't have a chance to get points, and that was going to be the one against Minnesota, because even in the Vancouver game, they scored a game-tying goal late and should have gotten that game to overtime. That was a bad performance by them in the closing moments of that game, where they did not play tight enough, where they did not work hard enough, and they lost. They didn't make those same mistakes in last night's game. They didn't make it in the following game after that earlier, where they bounced back with a win. Those are the huge moments for the team, where they are learning in real time to a greater extent than they did a year ago. But now they have an interesting opportunity against Philadelphia, a team that if they were not on short rest, I would say is definitely a beatable team. But it's different when you're on short rest and you're on the other side of the country. But, you know, one thing that we've talked about earlier in the season is that, you know, their legs are not as tired as they otherwise would be on the second night of a back-to-back. And this is a Sharks team that I think feels that they have a lot to prove right now and are feeling wind in their sails for the first time in a long time by winning 5 out of 7. They haven't had sustained success like that for a long, long time. So for them to be able to have this opportunity now, for them to be able to look at this and say, hey, if we win today, we're giving ourselves a 500 road trip on the East Coast, regardless of what happens in the next two games. And yes, the Rangers are a very, very good team, but they've already got one win down. And then you look at Pittsburgh being a beatable team, in my opinion. The Sharks are giving themselves big opportunities here. And it's important to take advantage of those. You take advantage of those opportunities. You give yourself the opportunity to walk away with a win. The Sharks, they're ahead of schedule right now by winning one game on this road trip. Let's see what happens now. Can they start off a road trip going 2-0 and maybe getting a 500 result before they've even played, you know, more than two games? Can they go 2-for-2 and then give themselves a chance to go 3-for-4 or 4-for-4? That's what you want to see, the improvement. Obviously, if you go 500 on the road and you win at home, you're giving yourselves a great chance to get to the playoffs. I'm not putting the Sharks there, but we have to watch it happen in real time and see if they can make themselves a better team starting off today with a performance that they can be proud of against Philadelphia. I think would go a long way and give them confidence going into the games against New York and then Pittsburgh, especially considering they get Tuesday and Wednesday off. That's going to be big for them as well. All right, let's get into some of this post-game audio. More from Nico Sturm.
Especially, like I said, when you realize, you know, the opposition played last night, you know, you're fresh, you had a good practice day yesterday, want to make their D turn, get back for pucks. And that's exhausting to do. You know, you played the night before, and it might not reap a reward right away in the first 5 or 10 minutes, but I think you wear them down as the game goes on, second, third period, if they got to go back for every puck. And yeah, I think the games that we've you know, won this year, we played mostly very simple. And obviously with the roster makeup that we have, that's how we got to do it.
One of the favorite things I've heard from Drew Remendo in talking about how the Sharks rectified things after the second year of their existence, 92-93 to 93-94, was the idea of keep it simple, stupid, the KISS narrative. And I do think that is important. There, you can't overcomplicate things. You can't try and give players too many assignments when Nico acknowledged what their roster construct is as it is right now. Now, the question was whether or not this was the type of play that the Sharks can do night in, night out. Now, I don't think that directly means you want to win 1-0 games, but they played a hard, simple, clean game. Give yourselves a chance. And yes, Mackenzie Blackwood did have to play a great game, but you know, when you are, as Nico said, where the Sharks roster construct is right now, you're going to have to play that much better. You're going to have to play that much cleaner. You're going to not need to be the team that is going to outperform. It's more about not defeating yourselves. And I think the Sharks have had too many games this year where early on they were racking up, what, 5, 6, and 7 penalties, where they were literally shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, if you're racking up 5, 6, or 7 penalties, then you're lining up a shotgun with both your feet. And the Sharks aren't doing that. And they're not falling behind the same way that they were in games. And they're not making the critical errors that they were previously. And they're not bleeding goals the way they were previously. I mean, these are, at least in the short term, corrections that have been made. And it's never going to be linear because right now, you know, the Sharks start off on a downward trend or just a flat trend of being winless, winless, winless with short little bumps there to get 1 point. And then since October 28th, it's been mostly in an upward trend, you know, down with a loss, back upwards, down with a loss, back upwards. That's good. You know, the thing that you want to get away from is streaking in either direction. You don't want to follow a 7-game, you know, losing streak with a 5-game winning streak with a 7-game losing streak with a 9-game winning streak. And, you know, that's not a great way to get through a season because then you're just riding emotional highs and lows. What you want to get into in a game like this is being able to manage situations to where if you lose one, you can bounce back with a win or two. You lose two, you win two. And you lose three, you win one, you lose one, then you win a couple more after that. Just more of that back and forth, paced, measured hockey, not just riding streaks in one direction or another. And I think a big part of that is being a team that doesn't make the critical errors in the critical moments. And if you talk about some of the wins the Sharks have had of late, a close win against a team like Columbus in overtime, they were able to make the big plays at the big moments. A close win yesterday against New Jersey, big play in a big moment, and then your goalie comes up with the huge saves. An incredible comeback against Utah. You come up with the big moments, managing of games against LA, against Chicago. These are the things that they were not capable of doing earlier in the season and not last year to the same extent. So right now they should enjoy it while they can and build upon it. Again, it's not going to be linear. It's not going to be a straight climb. It's going to be up and down and back and forth. But if you can avoid the big climbs and the big descents, you give yourself a better opportunity game in, game out, to just be a team that manages the flow of the NHL season. More from Nico on the goal that he scored with a little help from Timo Meier.
Breakout pass, Grundy gave it to me in the middle. I tried to I had a lot of speed. I tried to one-touch it over the D-man's stick and jump by him. Couldn't corral it right away. And then I knew, obviously, everybody's going to the net, just trying to throw a puck in front of the net, maybe back to Grundy. Obviously, lucky bounce. But I thought the line was playing well today.
And again, the most important thing to note about this is that he put the puck in a dangerous place. I know that there is some relative luck that goes into getting a goal like that, but you need to put the puck in a dangerous place in the first place. I mean, that's one of the things I talked about when people said, oh, that first goal from Macklin Celebrini in game one, that was kind of lucky. It's like, well, luck is implying undeserved. It's why I'm not a big believer of it in the way that people talk about it in sports. And he put that puck in a dangerous place. What happened? He forced the defense and the goalie to make a response. Okay, what happened with Nico Sturm last night? He forced the defense and the goalie to make a response, and he knew there were going to be people crashing the net. And yes, that's not the intended outcome, at least from the perspective of the Devils, but you put the puck back into a dangerous place, anything can happen. And guess what? Under the guise of anything happening, one of the potential outcomes is that puck making its way into the back of the net. And so that happened, and the Sharks walk away with a goal. Now, it may not be to design. It may not be the intended outcome where you're just trying to say, hey, let's see what happens, because anything can happen. I mean, you hope that that could happen, but I don't know if you're thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to put this puck back in the slot or in front of the crease and it's going to get kicked in. No, that's not what you're expecting to happen. It did happen, and the Sharks used that momentum the rest of the game. That was enough of a buffer, whereas previously having a 1-0 win was not going to be enough of a buffer between these two sides. That was the Sharks making improvements from one year to the next. It's the Sharks being able to manage the game. It's the Sharks being able to give themselves a great opportunity to win. It's Mackenzie Blackwood being just an absolute stud throughout the game. And there's far too many games in Mackenzie Blackwood's tenure with San Jose where he has not gotten the offensive support that he's needed, where he's just made play after play after save and walked away with a loss. Last night was a game where apparently one goal was enough, where he was going to be a brick wall, where he was not going to let anything through. We saw Vitek Vanacek recently with his, 50-save performance, where he was absolutely phenomenal. I believe it was 44 saves last night for McKenzie. I'm not going to hold that against him in any way, shape, or form for not making as many saves as Vitek Vanacek. But that's two wins as of late where your goalies have come up absolutely massive, and that's what it's going to take for the Sharks right now. Sometimes you've got to be able to get just that little bit of a sliver of an edge and let your goalie do a lot of the work. Well, okay, both the goalies have shown as of late that they can do that, that they can give you an incredible opportunity to help you win a game. And if you're going to have that game, you better make sure that you win it. You better make sure you don't make the critical errors. Now, late, there was that penalty against Ferraro. That felt like a big moment. That was a huge kill for San Jose in which they came up big. Game management, making an error, but not allowing it to be a critical error that causes you to lose the game. That's a sign of improvement. I think that earlier with San Jose and last year, a late penalty like that is something where they give up a goal. But instead, they were able to handle the situation, and ultimately, not only did they give themselves a chance to win, they did hold on to the win. Here's Timo on developing chemistry with Carl Grundstrom.
We play a pretty similar style of game, complement each other pretty well. I don't think people realize about him how good his shot is. You watch him in practice. I think he's got an elite shot. He hasn't maybe gotten to show it yet, obviously, with the role that we play right now. But he can make plays. He's a good hockey player. Right now, obviously, we're filling a role, and I think doing a pretty good job of it so far.
And I will go back to the fact that that is another one of the narratives that we discussed in the early goings of the season of the Sharks, finding the chemistry with new players, because I think people looked at the early results and said, oh, this is going to be a repeat of last year. But it takes time when you are playing with new players. You've got to learn their games. You've got to figure out how you're going to interact with them. And of course, when you have as much turnover as the Sharks roster did, it's not just about the existing players learning how to play with the new players and vice versa. It's also about a lot of the new players understanding the system and understanding their roles in certain situations. And the Sharks have done a good job of managing that. They've given themselves a chance game in, game out as of late, as the players that we have looked at who were not there early on. We've seen more from Wallman. We've seen more from CeCe. We've seen more from Wenberg. We've seen more from Liljegren now. These players are figuring out how to play with their respective line mates. Toffoli hit the ground running. That's what he was expected to do. But if we look at other players that have come in, you see them, a Grundstrom having more impact on games. That was the expectation, and now we're watching it happen in real time. And so it did take a while, but it of course took a while. And now, again, with that rectification or correction of what we're watching with San Jose, more players are having an impact on games. More players are figuring out how to play with their line mates. More guys are getting points on the score sheet. Now, last night, a 1-0 game, that's a little bit different. But I do think you look overall at what the Sharks are turning into, and you're watching them figure out their players, their line mates, their systems, the tactics. It's all becoming more cohesive in real time. Now, it doesn't mean it's always going to be that way, but they're able to make the most of it right now. They've won 5 out of 7. That's a phenomenal stretch for this team, especially considering when you look at the previous 9 games of the season, or the first 9 games of the season, when they went 0-7-2. Correction does not mean undeserved. It means we are back to a level of where we had for expectations. They are correcting that 0-7-2 start and by winning 5 out of 7. They still, after losing their first 9, even though they did have a couple of overtime losses in there and a shootout loss, they have not racked up, you know, that 10th regulation loss. That's impressive to me. An 0-7-2 start, and right now, after 16 games, you only have 9 regulation losses. That's an incredible correction for San Jose. That is something that they should be and are proud of. Here's head coach Ryan Warsawski on the fourth line.
Yeah, really good. That fourth line gave us a lot of energy. Played the right way. It was hard. It was heavy. I really liked that fourth line. And Vegeta come in, give us some good fresh legs. Thought he was really good tonight.
Yeah, fresh legs out there on the ice. Contributions from everyone in terms of the effort. Fourth line play goes a long way in terms of identity out there on the ice. And ultimately, the pushback that the Sharks consistently had with a lot of help from Mackenzie Blackwood simply stymied New Jersey. And that's what it takes in certain games. You just have to be able to find a way to win. They found a way to win against Utah. They found a way to win against LA. They found a way to win against Chicago. That is a huge step, winning 3 straight. They fall to a team like Vancouver, and what do? They rectify it right away and find a way to win at home against a team like Columbus. They lose against a really good team in Minnesota. Okay, you accept it. You move on. You bounce back 2 days later on the East Coast. You find a way to win against New Jersey. And that leads us today, a big challenge against Philadelphia. Vitek Vanacek is going to be in net. And this is what I love, is that you've watched phenomenal performances back and forth from Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek, where these guys are challenging each other. And the other aspect of this is the organizational depth, where they know that Yaroslav Askarov is in the wings waiting. And at some point, we are going to see Askarov. He is going to be up with San Jose at some point. Now, I don't know when. No one has given me any advanced information. I just think it's going to be sooner rather than later, in terms of it'll happen at some point this year. I don't know if it'll be until the deadline. Eventually, you would hate to see it, but somebody's going to get hurt. That happens. That's the reality of life in the NHL. And so they know that they are going to get pushed by this newcomer. So they continue to show themselves a little bit of friendly competition one game to the next. Who wants it the most? Who's going to give it the most? Who's going to give themselves the opportunity to get a win? You know, that is just what it comes down to time and time again. Competition across the board. They know that each of them is going to push each other in Vitek and McKenzie. They know that Askarov is waiting in the wings. You know, a lot of the guys who are on the Sharks right now know that the prospect pool is deep. They're watching the Barracuda. They know that Colin Graf is waiting in the wings. They know that, you know, a guy like Ethan Cardwell is there to press as well. This is what you want. Organizational depth, a farm system that has prospects coming, where guys are fighting to be their best selves. Yes, it's a cruel, harsh, game in, game out, what have you done for me lately type world, but that's the reality of life in the NHL. You better be able to make the most of it, and the Sharks right now are maximizing their abilities on the ice, and you see that in a 1-0 win against a really good New Jersey team. Now, as we learn more about this team, they have 3 games left on a 4-game road trip. Today it starts with the second of a back-to-back, then they play a really good team in the Rangers, and then they go see Pittsburgh. What can they do with the remainder of this road trip? Can they give themselves an opportunity to walk away with a 500 road trip? Taking 3 out of 4? I don't know. That is the challenge right now for San Jose, and I think that we are all pretty excited to see it. All right, we are just about out of time. Remember, pregame 3:30 today. Go time 4 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Rusinowski and Jason Demers on the call. I will be on pre and post on NBC with Alan Hoshida. You can join us there as well. All right, for the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
36 seconds left of the penalty on Ferraro. Extra attacker on also for New Jersey, so they have a two-man advantage. 1-0 Sharks. Here comes the shot. Save. Rebound. Where is it? It's stopped by Blackwood. He kept it in front of the goal line. He did the human snowman in the nets by holding out Snow Angel territory and making the save.